Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. We are off and running on the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, the 13th day of February, 2024. We're in our 14th year with the radio show and coming to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts, most of our shows, I would say almost 95% or more, going back to the first week of January in 2011 when we launched our radio project, all archived, very easy to use at buckmastershow.com. For our telephone interviews, that's our live line, and it's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will utilize the live line a couple of times during the hour, including right away now with Dr. Dave Wells. Dr. Wells holds a doctorate in political economy and public policy and is the research director for the Grand Canyon Institute, which is a nonprofit organization, a centrist think tank led by a bipartisan group of former state lawmakers, economists, community leaders, and folks from the academic field. They are based up in Phoenix, the Grand Canyon Institute, serving as an independent voice in reflecting a pragmatic approach to addressing economic, fiscal, budgetary, and taxation issues confronting Arizona. Dr. Wells, how are you, sir?
Oh, pretty good. And we do have Tucson roots, though, because, you know, George Cunningham helped found it with me back in 2011. And and George is an institution in Tucson.
He is an institution. And, boy, I remember George not only as a lawmaker and, of course, chief of staff to, I believe, Governor Rose Mofford. Was that correct?
Yeah, I think so. And he was deputy chief of staff for Janet Napolitano.
There you go. Too. So he's been around a long time, and his son, the councilman, Paul Cunningham, will be with me tomorrow at this time.
Oh.
So, yeah, small world. How are we doing with this budget? How do we go from a budget last year where we were solidly in the black to a lot of red ink right now? What's your take on that, Dave?
Well, what happened in the 2021 legislative session is the under Governor Ducey and the legislature is they implemented or phased in what they call is a flat tax. And what they did is they eliminated what has a progressive income tax where rich people paid more of a percent of their income than lower income people, so that everybody paid, especially rich people, paid about the same percentage as lower income people. And we've created a structural budget deficit, which is another way of saying people are going to get screwed over, going to lose a lot of funding for lots of key things that people value most likely over the next few years.
Why did we go that route?
Well, so there, normally you can't do that, because usually what happens is what's happening now. If you reduce taxes massively for wealthy people, you create a budget deficit and people would push back against it. So we had a unique circumstance that happened during COVID, is we had about $83 billion of federal monies that came in different forms into the state. And that really buoyed the economy a lot. And what that did to the state revenue picture is it gave it a really big surplus. So it looked like the state had lots and lots of money. And therefore, the idea is Republicans thought that they could cut the income tax, which they don't particularly care for, and they could get away with it. And they did initially. But we've moved back into sort of a post-COVID environment. We don't have all that extra federal funding sort of flowing into the state. And now we see we have a structural budget deficit. We're just meeting the very, very basic expenditure needs of the state is still higher than what the incoming revenues is projected to be going forward.
Do most states go this way, or is this something of an outlier, Dr. Wells?
Well, there were a number of states that did choose during COVID to mostly Republican states to cut taxes, although some Democratic states did too as well. So it is. But the level of this, because this was over a $2 billion decrease in state revenue that the legislature passed. And we estimated that at least about 70% of it went to households that have incomes above $200,000.
Wow.
So it was basically a massive redistribution of income and the opposite way we often think about it, and which is why we've called it pizzas versus Porsches. So most people got 20 bucks, you know, enough to buy a really nice pizza, or 40 bucks maybe to buy two. But the wealthy as folks in Arizona got hundreds of thousands of dollars in savings, so they could buy a Porsche or whatever they wanted to do with it. And so that this was, you know, that's a something you normally couldn't get away with, but because, you know, they do it under the guise that it's going to grow the economy, or we should stop punishing rich people or things like that. But what they've done is they've really rewarded wealthy people with this large tax giveaway and created a massive problem for Governor Hobbs and the legislature now to deal with.
How are they going to make up some of this revenue, Dave Wells?
Yeah, I wish I knew that. So part of what they do is there's the fund sweeps. If people who might remember back to the Great Recession and the fund sweeps that happened there. So there's about $300 million in fund sweeps. But first, keep in mind what we're looking at here is we're looking at probably about both fixing this current fiscal year budget, which goes through June, and then the next fiscal year budget is going to cost, they need to come up with at least about $2.2 billion to do that. And that's still not going to make things nice and well-funded, but that's just basically a minimal kind of thing. And so they only have like $300 million in funds that they can sweep for that. So that's not going to like, that's what the governor's office proposes. They are going to take back a few of the expenses that there were lawmakers were each given a sort of their own little credit card last year to be able to identify things they wanted to spend money on. Some of those things haven't happened yet, so they're going to probably take some of that money back. But again, those things won't fix the fundamental problem. And nobody's talking about, you know, raising taxes on wealthy people to recover money that they've lost. So that's where it's going to get really dicey, and it's going to take a while. And it's unfortunately, I don't have like a crystal ball. Like, yeah, you do this, this, and this, you'll fix it. Because a structural deficit means that the system is out of balance now, and there simply is not enough revenue coming in to fund the basic necessities. You know, then you can add things on top of that, like the growth of the universal vouchers, the ESA program, which is also you know, taking money away from the general fund as well.
Dr. Dave Wells with us, research director for the Grand Canyon Institute. What's your take on the University of Arizona and its financial picture? There seems to be some that believe that buying that online university was a big problem and may have led to part of the financial issue here. What is your take, Dave?
Yeah, I don't know the whole financial picture, but we did back in 2020 when they were on the cusp of acquiring Ashford University, look into it. And at the time, we indicated that we had ethical and financial concerns about it. So essentially what U of A was doing was buying students. These aren't students that live in Arizona. These are mostly students of color, disproportionately African-American students, a lot of them women who live in the Southeast. They purchased Ashford, which we call a predatory institution, which meant that they specialize in bringing in folks who can get federal funding either through the VA or through student loans or Pell Grants, and then provide them a lousy education, and they then usually often drop out, and they end up with debt with no degree. That's what they acquired. And we looked at the financial picture, and we said, this is not going to be, they thought that this could be a money center, I think, for them, because I believe ASU Online is a money center for Arizona State University. But we looked at it, and we said, we don't think that's going to happen. And we have real issues with, you know, taking on an institution that's predicated on essentially taking advantage of students like that. And because what you usually have to do with that is infuse money into it, not take money out of it. So we think, you know, that's unfortunately what seems to have acquired the Zovio, the company that they purchased it from for a dollar, has now gone out of business due to legal. They were found to have defrauded students in California and other kinds of things. So they're now out of business, and then the whole thing is now in the University of Arizona's lap. It's in my mind, it's a real mess, and it's a real lack of accountability in terms of, because it's the Arizona Republic has reported that the issues we put out were not issues that the folks at U of A and higher administration were unaware of. They were very well aware of it, and yet they sort of misled people about what they were doing, I think.
Kind of a financial mess, isn't it, Dave Wells?
I think it's a financial and an ethical mess because then they almost entirely hire part-time faculty who get paid very little. So that faculty has been kept separate. That may be changing, you know, from the U of A faculty. That organization has separate accreditation. So there are just a lot of really messy pieces to this. And I don't really know how you. I think they should essentially work to disinvest from that, or put the U of A global out of. Sort of combine it to the regular U of A online system and figure out some kind of transition plan. But it's a mess.
All right, Dr. Dave Wells, always a pleasure, the research director at the nonprofit Grand Canyon Institute. Where can people find out more, Dave, about the Grand Canyon Institute?
Well, they can go online. It's grandcanyoninstitute.org, and you can access all of our reports. And if people would like to get on our email list, we don't besiege you with tons of emails, but you can get on our email list, and then you can get copies of our reports as we release them and other information like that.
Thank you, Dave. Always a pleasure. We'll check in with you sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Sounds great, Bill. Thank you very much.
All right. Shelley Fishman is up next. Shelley's saying, oh, my goodness, if Shell had three thumbs, they would all be pointed down, down, down. But right now I'm going to talk about something going up, 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 Mona's Danish Bakery. And they're very excited up at Mona's. I don't blame them. They've got now the liquor license. And so if you want a beer with your lunch, you can do it. They're open right now for lunch at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I believe they're pouring Peroni, which is an Italian beer. You can grab a Peroni by the bottle now up at Mona's. And, of course, with breakfast, how about a mimosa, champagne, and orange juice? So it's monasdanishbakery.com, the website. Well, that's the place to go. Maybe before you stop by, you'll be very tempted to know exactly. No, maybe won't know exactly what you want. You'll be tempted once you get in there and look at the bakery case. Oh, I think I'll take one of those and another one of these, and on it goes. And all right, Shelley Fishman is next, right after we take a break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
Here he is, Shelley Fishman, on the Buckmaster Show. And it is Tuesday, and the last time, I wonder if it last March when we had that big downturn. Might have been a Tuesday.
It's always a Tuesday. Yeah, I can't hide.
More than likely. And here we are. We're having, boy, when I heard the news this morning about those numbers, and I'm thinking, oh boy, there's going to be a reaction.
Early this morning, I was thinking, what are we going to talk about today? And I you know, I made a list of
several
things.
You sent me four or five very
interesting to people.
Boy, did this thing come to the front burner,
huh? Inflation report.
Wow.
Happened. So inflation is really terrible. It was expected to be 2.9% year over year from last January to this January. It was 3.1%. That's in the margin of error, Bill. But because we have a Fed that is run by a guy who is looking for an excuse to not cut rates until, you know, close to the last part of the year, the market believes this will be his excuse to not do anything, at least until June or July. Well, the market had been expecting, I think, and I was expecting, you know, a 50-50 chance that we might get a rate cut, an interest rate cut, even at the end of January. That didn't happen. I was wrong about that. But what's happening here is that inflation has come way down. It's continuing to drop, even though we got a little bleep, you know, in January. And we certainly have to be really careful about inflation and making sure that it doesn't pop up again and start to increase. That said, the interest rate increases, and they have been record-breaking over the past year and a half, have made it very difficult for certain segments of the population to, you know, take advantage of the things that you'd want to take advantage of as part of the middle class, is just, you know, on the activities of daily living. You want to sell your house? Yeah, except what are you going to buy? Because interest rates are high for mortgages. You know, you want to buy a car? Well, the shortages are down. I mean, there's, you know, we've got, you know, plenty of chips now to go in the cars. But an auto loan for a used car is up in the 7-8% range,
yeah,
and for a new car is down around 6%.
Yeah, it's pricing a lot of people out.
Exactly. And so, no, we don't have a lot of unemployment.
No.
That's the good news. Unemployment is way, way down.
Right. But
you know, the bad news is that there's still a whole segment of the population that is suffering from low wages that have only barely kept up with the rate of inflation over the past 18 months or so. And so, you know, they take a look at the price of bread, the price of chicken, the price of fuel even, which is still a little higher than it ought to be. And they're saying, you know, this economy just isn't working for us. Now, again, this is one of the best economies I've ever lived through, but I'm not in that group. And so from my perspective as an investor, as an investment advisor, I take a look at a 3.6, 3.7% unemployment number, and that's full employment. We just got, and I'm wandering, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right, I understand.
But we got, I think it was yesterday, we got a Congressional Budget Office estimate. They recalculated the growth of the economy over the next 10 years. And they came up with $7 trillion with a T for Tommy, $7 trillion more than they expected over that 10-year period of time. And what would you guess the reason is for that?
I don't know why there would be that windfall.
Well, it turns out that immigration and the people that are coming into the country and working,
yes,
is causing a huge amount of additional taxation, additional business to go on. And the calculations using the immigration numbers are staggeringly high.
Hmm.
So we still have 3.5% unemployment, but the jobs that Americans, Native Americans, or you know, people who are, documented, don't want, are being filled by people who do want to work that way. And it's causing, according to the Congressional Budget Office, which is supposedly nonpartisan, is going to cause a $7 trillion windfall over the next decade.
We don't hear that story very often.
No, we don't.
Not that part of the immigration story.
Lots of people don't want to believe it either.
These are jobs Americans don't want to take.
Right, but somebody's got to take them. Otherwise, our crop production goes down. You can't get a roof for your house. You can't get construction done. And there are plenty of people who want those jobs. Mm-hmm. We've got to find an orderly and organized way of getting them into this country. But the idea of shutting down the border and not letting anybody in is like slitting your wrist and bleeding to death in the economy. It makes no sense whatsoever. By the way, Dr. Dave Wells.
Dr. Wells,
everything he said.
You like.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The man is absolutely. I mean, how many times.
The structural deficit.
Right. How many times do we have to say you cut taxes, you're going to get deficits? And people write emails when I say things like that.
Yeah.
But
he's right.
Bingo, it's true.
Pizzas and Porsches.
Right, right. And who gets the benefit again? It's the people who.
Yeah, you and I are getting the pizzas, I think.
Well, we're doing okay.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of people who don't need that tax cut.
Of course.
You know, who are simply taking that money and investing it. They're not spending it. Or if they are, they're not spending it on things that the rest of us care about. But I just can't emphasize enough that we need fiscal policy that makes fiscal sense in this country. We don't have it in Washington.
No.
And we don't have it in a lot of the states.
One day blip on the markets, I hope.
Well, this might go on a day or two, but
is there profit? There's got to be profit taking.
There's some of that. Yeah. I mean, the markets were at record highs.
Week after week of hitting record highs.
Right. This, getting back to things that we have talked about, Bill.
Yes.
This is the perfect example of the day you shut off your television and don't look at the stock market prices.
Yeah, but some people, on a day like this, they may say, I got to sell.
Which is exactly the reason that the average portfolio in this country is up 3%, and if you had just invested in a good balanced stock portfolio and left it alone, you'd have been making 12%. So, you know, we did that math a couple of weeks ago. It shocked the heck out of me once the math became clear.
What'd you say, 1,000?
Right.
You take 1,000 bucks.
1,000 bucks.
Yeah.
And put it in an IRA.
Right.
And you can put it in a Roth IRA or a regular IRA, or in your 401k, when you're in your 20s, and then come back 45 years later, and all you've done is put it in S&P 500 ETF and maybe a NASDAQ ETF and maybe 30% in a bond ETF, and you've left it there, $1,000. Mm. And what's it worth at the end of 45 years?
Millions.
16 million.
Oh, boy.
So most people can retire on $16 million.
Why didn't I think
dollars.
Of that?
Right.
John's shaking his head on the other side.
All you need to do is do that. So, you know, tell me in the first couple of years that you're employed in your 20s, you can't find a grand, to invest in a retirement account, and leave it there. Even on days like today, repeat after me, leave it there.
Leave it there.
Yeah. Well, then when you're 50, 52, 53 years old, get a financial advisor and rebalance it a little bit. So as you get closer to the time you want to retire, you make it a little bit more conservative. That said, You know, it outpaces real estate. It certainly outpaces gold or precious metals. It's just historically a great investment. Now, there will be times when it's not. There will be years when the market's down and doesn't seem to want to, you know, bounce back. But it always does.
It always does.
So you've got to be careful that, you know, if you want to retire during the time that the market's down, you might have to delay your retirement a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, just using the statistics, on a day like today, the last thing you want to do is chase the curve. Leave it alone. It'll come back.
Okay, Shelley, and if people want to reach you the best way, just through the show.
Absolutely.
Go to my website through buckmastershow.com. And
send me an email.
Send an email, and then we'll make sure that you get it, and then you can respond to the listeners.
Absolutely.
Okay, Shell. Any final thoughts? Got about three seconds.
Yeah, don't look at the stock price at the end of the day. Blah, 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 blah.
All right. Hope you have a great rest of the week. Though. Thank you very much.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster in the saddle as we navigate now the second half hour of our daily weekday noon hour program. This portion presented by Green Things and Zocalo Village. Zocalo Village has just about everything you can imagine. When it comes to pottery, they've got to have the largest selection of pottery for your plants of any place in Arizona. Huge selection. Green Things, AZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com, the two websites. 13-acre site, 3384 East River Road. They are open daily. They're in their 53rd year of business. When we do our telephone interviews, and we're doing a couple today, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're so proud to have a couple of dozen contributors. People are at the top of their field on our program, and Will Humble is our contributor on public health. My gosh, this man knows so much about public health. He's the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. My goodness, almost four decades in public health, including more than two decades at the Arizona Department of Health Services, where he served in various capacities, including heading the agency. He was the agency director from 2009 to 2015, and he joins us now on the live line. Will, how's your day going so far?
Hey, good afternoon, Bill. Everything's going just fine. Thanks.
Good.
How about you?
Doing well. Before we get into my stack of health stuff, quick update on kind of what's been considered the big three, COVID, the RSV, and the flu. How are we doing here mid-February?
So I think we're past the real peak for transmission of influenza and RSV. I would say about 2 weeks ago, we saw the inflection point. Now, there's still a lot of influenza and RSV circulating in the community, but it's on the way down. COVID's a little more difficult to get a handle on because it's poorly reported and so many people are just using the rapid test. And so it doesn't, so there's like not great information and data on it except for hospitalizations. And when you look at the hospitalizations for COVID, that's pretty modest in comparison to the previous years that we've had. So, we're on the mend, I guess you could say, in terms of influenza, RSV, and probably COVID too. Although I just got off the phone with somebody, two people actually, that can't go to the state legislature today because they just tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, it's still very much around. And during the height of the pandemic, one of the real hot spots in North America for COVID was the Navajo Nation, Will Humble.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, the Navajo Nation really had that virus amplifying and circulating just not too long after New York City had their massive peak. And it's still a little bit of a head scratcher, you know, how it would end up in the Navajo Nation.
Yeah.
Once you start thinking about, the kinds of, they have a lot of council meetings and chapter house meetings and stuff. There's a lot of get-togethers up in Navajo land. And so, it was just spreading at a time before there was masks even exist. Remember, that was at the very beginning when they were rationing masks and only healthcare workers were getting them, and they had to reuse their masks. They got hit really early and really bad.
One other issue before we move on to some of the other stuff in my stack of stuff, syphilis infections. Arizona is now what, in the top five, I think, in the country.
Well, not just that, but in the country as a whole has more syphilis cases per capita than we had in the pre-antibiotic era.
Wow.
So if you back before antibiotics, if you got syphilis, you just had it, And they even gave arsenic, I think, early on, which is, of course, a terrible way to...
Ooh,
but
boy.
They didn't have antibiotics back in the day. So, for decades, by doing enough testing and treatment through effective antibiotics, we've been able to really knocked down syphilis to pretty manageable levels until about 10 years ago. And starting in 2012, we started to see a real amplification of syphilis. And we're at a point now where we're several 100% higher than we were even 10 years ago as a nation. And as you mentioned, Arizona is the top number three in terms of congenital syphilis. That's syphilis among brand new babies. And number five in terms of syphilis just cases per capita. So the U.S. as a whole is doing poorly, really bad, honestly, on syphilis. And then Arizona is the worst of the worst, I guess, to put it that way.
Do we have any speculation on why the big increase in syphilis?
Well, our biggest concern with syphilis is congenital syphilis. So that's syphilis that when a woman is infected with syphilis during pregnancy, it's transmitted to the baby. And the baby can have lifelong consequences, really bad ones, including it can even kill the fetus, you know. So it's a really bad infection among kids. And so the top priority, I think, for public health folks is to make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to get rid of, syphilis infections among pregnant women. And the core public health interventions there are, you know, testing and treatment. Well, one of the issues we have, since you asked about what's the core thing, if you look at the total number of syphilis-infected babies, about a third of them are among women who didn't get any prenatal care at all. So they just got pregnant and didn't see midwife or OBGYN or everything, you know, didn't see anybody. And so that, given the uninsurance rate, I mean, that's probably part of that is lack of access to care, people who don't have health insurance. So that's one piece of it. But the other is just flat out, we're just not testing enough among women who do present to their OBGYNs regularly. It's, it used to be standard practice where regardless of what the woman says about, what she thinks her partner is or isn't doing, you would test for syphilis anyway. And I think that's fallen by the wayside, and we're not doing enough testing during pregnancy. And this is going to be a difficult topic to do on the radio, but the woman might say, well, my only partner is my husband. Well, and surely he's not cheating and not bringing syphilis home. So there's no reason to test. Right. Well, some of them are.
Yeah.
And so that the baby gets infected and the mom doesn't think that she's at risk at all. So it's a challenging illness. And I got to tell you, doing the contact tracing investigations for things like gonorrhea and syphilis are among the hardest things to do in public health.
I bet.
I mean, because you're knocking on people's doors and saying your partner's
has a social disease. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Want to move on to my lead topic today, allowing Arizona psychologists to prescribe medication. And I know that Dr. Singh, who is the president of the Arizona Psychiatric Society, had an op-ed here in our local paper in the Star that his organization, he says, and 13 other medical organizations believe that the prescription pads must stay out of the hands of psychologists. What's this all about, Will?
Well, I mean, this is a scope of practice case. And if you talk to people down at the state legislature, one of their least favorite things to deal with are scope of practice disputes, where one part of a profession wants, is very protective of their turf. Now, I'm not going to take a position on whether psychologists should be able to prescribe certain medications, because I'm not as familiar with their curriculum as I, which would need to be to answer that question. But I can say that this kind of thing comes up when you have a healthcare workforce shortage the way we do, because you end up in situations where it's flat out, there just are not enough psychiatrists. So psychiatrists are the MDs, that it's well within their scope of practice, you know, to prescribe medications. Psychologists are, they're not MDs. And so, but you have this incredible need out there in the community for people who have different kinds of behavioral health needs. And when you don't have enough psychiatrists out in the field, especially in the rural parts of the state, there starts to become more and more pressure to say, well, what else can we do? And one of the solutions that sometimes comes up is say, well, let's just let psychologists do more than they're doing now. See, so part of this, the core issue here has a lot to do with the workforce shortage and the fact that we don't have enough residency programs to graduate enough psychiatrists and then practice locations for them, especially in more some of the more underserved parts of the state.
Well, who knows how that bill is going to go. It is state, let's see, SB 1249, I believe, is the number. So we'll see how it goes at the legislature. Will, I've got a lot more for you. Stick around. We'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show. Back after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Whether you've considered an all-inclusive luxury cruise, an expedition adventure, or a relaxing river cruise, come to Bon Voyage Travel's annual showcase on March 3rd at the Hilton El Conquistador. Presentations will be offered throughout the day to provide you a chance to hear more about these travel brands and their exciting offers. Bill Buckmaster and I will be teaming up to present the travel trends of 2024. Visit bvtravel.com for more information on Bon Voyage Travel's free showcase on March 3rd.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you in the driver's seat here on our Tuesday edition, day before Valentine's Day, February 13th. This portion of our program presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Not a bad drive at all, about 3-hour drive from the Tucson area over to a very pretty area of southwest New Mexico, the land of enchantment. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. You will find and be tempted by lots of outdoor activities and some indoor activities as well at Western New Mexico University. They have the largest collection at the Museum of Mimbrace Pottery. It's really a nice little museum over there at Western New Mexico in Silver City. All right, let's continue now with our monthly conversation with our public health contributor, Will Humble. And Will is on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Under the umbrella of public health, I have about three or four items, and perhaps because time is short, Will, we can begin and you can kind of summarize what's going on by the premise that Arizona is in a mental health crisis.
Arizona is in a mental health crisis. I wouldn't say that, really. What I would say is that we have some pretty serious gaps in the care system for persons with a serious mental illness. And in fact, I'm headed down to the legislature to talk about a couple of bills right now, or at 1:30, we're going to have Senate health hearing. And one of those is about the fact that we do not have a secure residential treatment option for persons who have a serious mental illness who are what's called court ordered treatment. So they might have like a schizoaffective disorder, a schizophrenia, their family members, they don't want to have treatment, but their family members get court ordered treatment. And we just don't have enough places to give where those people can go during their treatment period before their meds kick in, and so that they can get on a good solid recovery path. So I wouldn't necessarily say we're in a crisis, but we've got these big gaps in the system and people are falling through the cracks. And I think there's finally recognition amongst both Republicans and Democrats down at the legislature. This is a nonpartisan issue this year. There's recognition that we really need to fill those gaps where people are falling through the cracks. And I'm optimistic, even though there's going to need to be an appropriation to get these facilities up and running. I'm optimistic that even in a budget year like this, this is going to be a priority, I think, for the legislature and I hope the governor.
That whole thing over the Arizona sober living scandal, and maybe you could quickly summarize it, it's cost the taxpayers, according to a report in the Arizona Republic, at over $2 billion.
I don't have a word for that, Bill, besides astonishing. I mean, it's just impossible for me to understand how Access, that's our state Medicaid agency, was unable to recognize this explosion in, turned out to be fake, outpatient treatment for alcohol disorders and so forth. And I mean, the claims exploded, claims being the amount of money that people were that under this American Indian Health Plan, which is run by Access, that like these claims were up over 1,000% over the course of 2.5 or 3 years. And who was minding the store?
I don't know.
You know? Nobody was minding the store over at Access. And honestly, the reputation of that agency's taken a huge hit, because how in the world they could see claims explode the way they did and not figure out that something was going on. And as you mentioned, yes, $2 billion when you consider both the state and federal money that went to basically fake treatment. And while this keeps getting called a sober living home scandal, it's really an outpatient treatment clinic scandal. I mean, people were living in these sober homes, basically flop houses, and then they were taking them to clinics for treatment or not taking them at all and just billing these treatment agencies for services that were not being provided, or if they were being provided, were really bad. It was it was criminal misconduct, you know, and the attorney general is looking into it, and I don't, I, I'm pretty sure they're not done with the indictments.
A story that's kind of still in the headlines about this, and we've talked about it on the show before, laboratory-grown meat. There is proposed legislation that is a response to lab-grown meats. The movement in the legislature to make the lab-grown meat not legal. What's your take?
Well, so FDA's approved, or USDA, FDA, the federal government has said that this is laboratory meat. There's another word for it than that, but let's just call it that. From cell cultures, that's an okay thing to sell. There was two bills at the legislature. One would say you can't sell it here. I don't think that one's moving. The other one is more of a full disclosure bill, so that it ensures that if you go into the supermarket that you don't want to have cell culture meat, you want just, ranch meat, that you'll know the difference. And so I'm in favor of a bill that would make sure that people understood the origin of the meat, but it's the federal government's job to say whether these lab cultured meats are safe for people to eat. And so far they say it is.
Do you have any idea how these meats taste, Will Humble?
No, but I would try it.
Tastes like chicken.
On a show I did.
It tastes like chicken. I don't know.
But I have heard testimony from people who say it tasted just fine. So I don't know.
Anyway, before we go, looks like, my goodness, the Affordable Care Act enrollment skyrocketing here in Arizona.
Yeah, two reasons for that. Number one, we do have a robust marketplace with lots of plans. We're fortunate in that way in Arizona. And the other reason for the big enrollment in the marketplace plans is that, during COVID-19, there was during that public health emergency at the federal level, people were staying on Access, our state Medicaid agency. They were staying on Medicaid, and they didn't have to get redetermined. In other words, even if they got a better job that paid more and they normally would no longer qualify for Medicaid, they were able to continue to stay on. And when the federal public health emergency ended, all those people were rolling off of Access because they got better jobs or changed jobs or their spouse got a job or something like that. And so all of a sudden they're like, oh, we don't have Access insurance anymore. We need to go to the marketplace and buy it. So I think there's a lot of good options that people have. And then I think this year the extraordinary event was really all the people rolling off of Medicaid and on to these marketplace plans where they pay a premium.
All right, Will, I've got about 30 seconds. Any final thoughts for our listeners today?
Wasn't that a great series of storms last week?
Mm-hmm. We're getting a nice, very nice winter rain. So good wildflower season. Hopefully it will keep the wildfires down, but who knows?
Yeah, it was really enjoyable up here in Phoenix. I know you guys got an inch or so down there, too.
All right. Well, we'll let you go. You need to get over to the legislature for your work. You're going to be talking about mental health, and so I'll let you go. Thank you very much, Will. Always a pleasure.
Okie doke. Take care.
All right. Will Humble, the former director of the Arizona Department of Health. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, our Tuesday edition. On behalf of Will Humble and John, who always does a great job for us engineering and producing the program, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well and inviting everybody to come back tomorrow. Interesting day tomorrow. We've got three events. We have Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day, and Statehood Day in Arizona. First time Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day have coincided since 1945. Have a great afternoon, everybody.